This week's podcast brought to you by Barf Barrels.
We had to have our temperamental dryer repaired twice this week. The heating element is messed up from previous laundry mishaps, and the gentleman who came out to repair the dryer, who was excellent, repaired it, and I was coming home just as he was leaving, and he said, we chatted briefly, told me everything was all set, and as he was leaving, he said, see you later, and I said, and as I was saying it, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was trying to retract it, you know, I said, I hope I don't see you too soon, and he stopped. He stopped in his tracks, and he went, everybody says that. And I knew everybody says that. It is a moronic thing to say. And I regretted having said it as soon as it was halfway out of my mouth, couldn't retract it, and it just lay there in the driveway. And so I only mention this as a public service, so don't say that.
Don't be an everybody.
Saying says no pain, no gain, and we found that to be fact. The road might twist and turn a bit, but we all arrive intact. Mr. Mom and Mrs. Dad having each other's back. Day by day, just to keep it sane, who's the ball and who's the chain? It's hard to tell right here on Happiness Lane.
We're recording this on Friday before St. Patrick's Day, and I spent this morning feeling like a grown-up. I got up at 6, showered, shaved, put on a jacket and tie, got a tumbler of coffee that I didn't drink, and checked the traffic report and drove to downtown, parked in a big garage.
Where do people, the traffic report you're talking about, you put the address into Waze?
And I put the address into Waze. I wanted to see if there was a backup on the Bruckner, if the Throg's Neck was running clear. How was traffic on the GWB? No, I was...
Did you get there super early? Was there any traffic at all?
I was driving into downtown Hartford. There was traffic. But I was speaking at a St. Patrick's Day breakfast. And as I told the people there, it's the rare time that I feel like a grown-up. In 40 years of being a grown-up, it felt like a take-your-rider-to-work day.
Right. Felt like your dad, except you
completely
didn't have a briefcase.
Completely.
It cracked me up when you...
And I was disappointed when I came home and there was not a folded newspaper and some slippers and a pipe.
There was actually a folded newspaper on the counter. But I laughed when you were, right before you were leaving to go, because you made yourself a cup of coffee. And I was thinking, you're going to get back home right around the time you would normally have your cup of coffee.
This was a 7:30 a.m. to 9 event, yes.
Yeah, because normally you drink coffee probably around 9:30 or something. But as you were making it, that's what I was thinking was, it's like when I'm on an airplane and on a super early morning flight or something, and you serve something, or you're walking through an airport super early and people are eating. And I'm thinking, would you be eating breakfast at 5:15 a.m. if you weren't flying? Like, you could probably wait till you get to your destination.
Well, I was sitting with the mayor of Hartford, and I asked him if this was one of three breakfasts he was going to be attending this morning, because you know he attends a lot of these civic breakfasts. And he said, the funny thing is, I don't eat breakfast. So there are a lot of uneaten breakfasts. It's kind of like being at your own wedding when you're speaking at one of these events where people are eating around you. And you have food there in front of you, but you tend not to eat it.
Right. And while you were in your suit and tie and looked very handsome, you were also, appropriately, in my favorite part of your outfit, you were wearing your green Nike blazers. That was your nod to St. Patrick's Day.
Nod to St. Patrick's Day. And it was also my nod to Catholic schools, because this was a Catholic schools function. I said my only means of, the only means of expressing one's individuality in Catholic schools is through your sneakers. There was silence from the assembled clergy and Catholic schools people. And I said, well, maybe not the only means of individual expression, but in my case, that was certainly the case. And that's why I wear wild sneakers now.
But of course, it wasn't, you know, you were in your formal uniform. If you were actually at school, you would have had been wearing your formal shoes.
Exactly. And I was preoccupied during and after this breakfast, because today is match day for medical school graduates who are about to do their residency somewhere. And this was a concept, even though my sister is a doctor, that I had either forgotten about or was oblivious to, that it's like being in the WNBA or NFL or NBA draft, where you find out where you're going to spend the next several years of your life.
You have no choice in the matter, really.
You can rank your choices, but you don't. Yeah, but
they choose
just as
you.
They choose you, and so at noon on March 15th, and they find out, and so our niece found out today, and I texted her father, my brother, to say, you know, which hospital's hat do I buy? You know, who are we rooting for now? So that's an exciting day, and as I say, something I had no concept of. Perhaps some of our resident residents, I guess.
I wonder how many jobs like where that's a thing, where there's jobs you apply for and you might get transferred to a different office in a different location, that sort of thing, but where there's a day, like a draft day, where you find out where you're going to be spending the next, how many years is she going to be?
I don't know how many
four
years.
Four or however many it is?
There is the actual draft. The military, I think, is an analogy. There has been throughout history an actual draft, and there is deployment where you know, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're being sent, and you have no control over that.
Right.
I mean, you had no control, did you? I guess you had some control. There's a rival league to the WNBA when you started, but
yeah, and like I knew when I signed with the WNBA that there was a team in New York and that I would be put there.
That was unique because there was no draft. It was just a
there was an allocation and then a draft. Yeah, but still, like I just. I don't know. It's a fascinating concept of, you know, this is where you're going and spending X number of years if you want to pursue this profession, and you don't have very much choice in the matter at all of where you're located.
There are college graduates who graduate and then send out a trillion resumes all over the country or possibly the world, and then they are willing to go wherever it is.
Right. But presumably... And maybe this is an unfair presumption. They, you know, get offers from more than one place. Like, this is different. This is the one place we are allowing you to go for your residency. It's right? Isn't that kind of how it works?
I mean, I texted my brother. I said, is there the possibility of a draft day trade where she gets swapped for picks and cash considerations?
Our oldest daughter was very excited to... remind me a couple of days ago, Girls 5 Eva drops on March 14th. And Girls 5 Eva is the TV show that I did an appearance for. I think we talked about it on the podcast.
You did an appearance on.
Appearance on, yes. Not for, appearance on. Playing myself. It was a stretch.
It kind of was a stretch because it's not really yourself.
It's not really me. Yeah, it's like a weird version of me. But last April, I went to Long Island and was there for a few days and filmed an episode for season 3 of Girls 5 Eva. Episode 4, it turns out. And anyway, I wasn't really on top of when the episodes were going to come out, because the first two seasons were on Peacock, but now all three seasons are on Netflix. And anyway, so yesterday I watched the episode that I was in, and I think it's really, really funny. The show itself, because I'd watched the first two seasons before I'd filmed the one I was in. It's a hilarious show, filmed very similarly to 30 Rock. Tina Fey is one of the executive producers. The actors on the show are awesome. Anyway, I highly recommend
Sarah Bareilles, Renee Elise Goldsberry, Busy Phillips, Paula Pell. Right?
Yes, those are the four characters who were part of a girl band when they were younger, and then now have kind of gotten back together. And it's a very, very funny show. And
for those listeners who may be inclined to check it out, is there some language?
There's some language. It's rated G, other than there's some language.
The
scene I'm in, the one of the scenes I'm in, there is a word that, like, I don't want our 13-year-old to watch.
In fact, you said that to her last night, and she said, I've probably heard it.
Yeah, probably has. But But anyway, it's our oldest daughter was super excited, and when I watched it, like, they have me in this red velour track suit with this big basketball medallion around my neck, and then in one scene I'm wearing my UConn basketball uniform because the premise of the episode I'm in, which I can actually talk about now because the episode is out, is this girl is having a birthday party, maybe a 30th birthday party.
Rich kid.
She married an older, very rich guy. And her birthday party theme is my childhood bedroom posters come to life. So apparently, you know, I was one of the posters on her bedroom wall. And so I'm there, and Girls 5 Eva was a poster on her wall. So she's there. And then a couple of other characters.
She's
too,
played by comedian Kat Cullen, right?
Yes, Kat Cullen, who does a phenomenal job. She's terrific in this episode. Very funny. Anyway, it was so much fun to be a part of, and it just kind of see the whole behind the scenes thing too. And then how it all came together. Cause there's a scene at the end where, the Girls 5 Eva band, all but Sarah Bareilles' character, are performing up on the stage, and then this room is filled with people, and then she and I are talking in the back. And when we filmed it, nobody was up on stage. There were only a handful of people in the room because they were really just getting the close-ups of Sarah and me. And then to see how it all comes together and edited together, and she walks through a completely crowded room in the episode. Well, that wasn't the case as it was happening. And like, as she walks away from me, I was like supposed to be dancing, which I did, but there was like no music as we were filming it. So anyway, it was a really, really fun experience. And I think the show is absolutely hysterical, and I highly recommend people watch it, you know, if they've got I think the episodes are less than 30 minutes or around 30 minutes. The seasons are short. I think this season 3 might only be, like 5 or 6 episodes. So it's a super easy binge watch, and just a very, very funny show. But yes, there is language.
Our college daughter wasn't overly thrilled when she learned that there was a premiere party in New York and an after party, and that you were invited with a plus one that she would have been.
We haven't talked about this. We were in the middle of Barfarama. The premiere party was Thursday. Our daughter, our youngest, on Tuesday night, I think, had come into the room in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m., and just said, "Mom," she woke me up. I still have my mother like instincts. I woke up as I heard footsteps coming down the hall. And she said, "I just got sick in my room." And I just said to her, "How are you feeling now?" "I don't know." I said, "Well, go in my bathroom." So she went into our bathroom and vomited again. Anyway, I went down to her room, and she had gotten sick all over her bed and the carpet.
It was like the pie eating contest from Stand By Me. Yes. That, where it was described as the complete and total Barforama.
Yes, 100% was that. So spent probably close to 45 minutes or an hour just cleaning things up the best I could, doing laundry, like just cleaning. Got back into bed. She came back down at 5 a.m. I got sick again. And so spent that night, and then the entire next day, she was just repeatedly getting sick. It was just one of those stomach bugs where you're going to empty the contents plus some of your stomach. And that was her entire day. And so I was thinking that was all day Wednesday into Thursday as well. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to be getting in a car and driving to New York for a premiere of this awesome show tonight when we've got a daughter to take care of. And then our son, also his basketball team, had a playoff game that night. So yes, I did not go to the premiere because of the circumstances around here, although it would have been a fun premiere to go to.
And then was it a couple of days later that I had my complete and total Barforama?
Well, yes.
I didn't barf, but we passed the Rubbermaid trash can from her room to our room. It had become known as the barf barrel.
The barf barrel. Well, first of all, number one, the night where she was getting sick and coming into our room, including like getting kind of loudly sick in our bathroom, you didn't wake up. which was fascinating to me. And it was completely fine because there's nothing you could have done to be helpful to the situation.
It was a throwback to when they were infants.
Right, exactly. So it was, there was no part of me that was like, I can't believe he's not waking up. It was more a fascination of, wow, how did he just sleep through that? And then, yeah, so 2 days later, which was interesting because the day that she was sick, she was the kind of sick where she wanted me with her. Like, she's, can you sit with me on the couch? And she put her head on my lap or rest against me. And so I was 100% like in her germ space. And you were not. We said, you know, doesn't make sense for us if we're, somebody's going to get sick, for us both to get sick. So you were completely away from her. And yet you were the one who then ended up getting sick right when she was well. But yeah, we had this barrel that she ended up using a few times. And so she'd use it, I'd clean it out.
It's our recycling receptacle for the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because we talked about some people have a barf bowl.
Right.
I guess that's an Instagram meme or something where did you use a bowl that then people would later eat out of?
Right.
Which I believe we did as kids. I don't remember having any other thing than like the big popcorn bowl.
Yeah.
Used as a receptacle. Although, no, we used trash cans, waste basket cans. My mom wouldn't have
been
into
the... I think we would use the waste basket that... Because when we were kids, each of us had a small waste basket.
If we had a giant Schlitz can waste basket, which was awesome.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, mm-hmm. you would have a giant beer can in your room because it's never too early to advertise that to kids.
Right. So yeah, we had this like Rubbermaid thing that we use for recycling in the house and before we bring it to outside the house. But anyway, so I was repeatedly like, clean that out, bleach that, clean it. So yeah, so then we moved it on to you. I think between our daughter and you, it did have like a brief 5 minutes as a recycling bin again, but very brief.
I recovered just in time, thank goodness, to go to what could have been our high school senior's final ever basketball game. Right. She was in the playoffs and you were out of town.
So yeah, so I'm taking care of our little one. Then you get sick. So so now my job is just getting all of the kids where they need to go, because now I'm the only mode of transportation, because you can't be around them, because both of them, we don't want them to get sick, but also our two high schoolers, their basketball teams are still alive in their state tournament. But then so Saturday, I have to fly to Vegas for the Pac-12 championship. And our oldest daughter has her state semifinal playoff game. And you were worried that you weren't going to be well enough to be able to go, but you were.
I drove her siblings down there with a mask on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt okay by then. I don't think I was contagious.
You hadn't eaten
contagious.
In 2 days, but like
I hadn't
you,
eaten
felt
two days.
You felt okay to make
all,
the trip.
When all was said and done, I hadn't eaten from Thursday dinner to Sunday dinner. I just had no appetite at all, but I felt okay to make the trip. So I went, got to the gym. I was masked and I sat down in our seat, randomly selected, you know, bleacher seat. And I looked down and there was a fortune cookie slip that was turned over. It had, you know, lottery numbers or something on the back of the fortune cookie slip. So I picked it up, turned it over, and, you know, you're feeling just a ball of anxiety before these playoff games. Yeah. And just as a parent, generally, your generalized anxiety is superheating in the moments leading up to these games. And the fortune cookie slip said, "Now and then it's good to pause in our pursuit of happiness and just be happy." So I tucked that into my wallet where it remains now. And I thought that was a good reminder, a good swing thought as you head into these final basketball games.
And
the final ever basketball game is tomorrow. Yeah. Our daughter's team plays in the state final. And win or lose, it'll be over.
It was absolutely ripping my heart in half that I could not be at that game on Saturday because I took the latest possible flight I could to Vegas. It was, and I still was going to miss her game because her game didn't tip until 6 p.m. But there, you could pay to have the live stream of the game, which I did, and my flight, because I was going through Atlanta, I actually had decent Wi-Fi on the plane. So I'm watching part of her game on the plane, and then we land, and I'm sitting at a long layover in Atlanta. I'm sitting there just with my stomach in knots and watching it at an empty gate. And I texted you at one point because whoever they were operating the camera, like I'm guessing it was just like an iPad or maybe even an iPhone.
There was a guy with a camera there on a tripod.
Okay. In the corner of the baseline corner, and the announcers were actually very good.
And they were sitting next to him.
And but there especially early in the game, there would be times where the guy operating the camera would forget to move the camera. He was clearly not watching the game through the lens, but just like watching
Correct.
It. So I kept texting you. I said, at halftime, can you nicely go over and tell the people who are live streaming this game that I'm really enjoying their commentary, but can they please turn the camera so like you can see the ball, for example?
I ignored that direction. And I said to a brother-in-law who was there, I said, what would Rebecca like me to do? Walk down to that guy and say, do a better job?
Just go down and say, in case you're wondering if anyone is watching, my wife is watching on the edge of her seat in Atlanta, and she has one small request that she can see the basketball. Like, literally, they would come down to the, because he was in the near corner on the baseline, and the ball would be on the far corner, and all you would see is like the two weak side people you couldn't see. It was much better in the second half. So I actually thought maybe, I knew there was no chance that you would say something to him, but I was like, maybe he did, because it has improved.
Well, also at that game, after I sat down, Chris in Cheshire introduced himself. He was there with his kids and inquired as to the efficacy of our air pump. Our car tire pump.
You actually have used it, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. The thing's awesome. But so anyway, it was nice to have met him. I was in a mask, so I didn't get too close, and he was more than fine with that. But he did say that if he missed work on Monday, he was holding me accountable. So I hope that didn't happen, or maybe he was thanking me. I can't remember if he wanted to miss school or didn't. But
well, they won, which like made it such a relief for me that I did not miss our daughter's last basketball game of her life. I would never have forgiven myself. So they won. So yes, they play in their state championship game as we record this. They play tomorrow. But I forgot to tell you about this, and it's ridiculous and hilarious at the same time to me anyway. So fly to Atlanta to Vegas. I get to Vegas, it's about 11 p.m. Pacific time, so I'm a bit of a zombie, as you can imagine. I've slept a little bit on the flights, but I'm elated that our daughter's team won. Get to Vegas, and anybody who's flown into that airport, you have to take like a little shuttle tram thing from the Delta gates to the baggage claim. So a bunch of us get on that, and there's a guy who I'm guessing maybe around 60. And he just looks at me, and he says, I'm on, I'm just so happy to be on this shuttle with a legend. And he kept like saying like that out loud. And I was pretty embarrassed. I'm like, okay, enough. And he seemed relatively sober, maybe not completely. And then a woman who is standing right next to me, like kind of between me and this guy who has called me a legend at least two or three times in the course of 30 seconds. The woman, he's like, do you know who that is? And the woman, I would say maybe 40 years old, maybe 30, but somewhere between 30 and 40, says, is she that Iowa basketball player? And she said, she kind of looks like her. And I just started laughing.
How in the ballpark though, you know?
I just started laughing. I was like, I am not Caitlin Clark, 21 or 22-year-old Caitlin Clark. I am indeed 50-year-old me. But I just started laughing. And then a conversation ensued about Caitlin Clark on this tram, a woman who clearly is not a sports fan, but is aware of the Iowa women's basketball player. And there was something really cool about that piece of it as I was laughing about the other piece.
You didn't say, I am Rebecca Lobo from TV's Girls 5 Eva.
It hadn't dropped, as our daughter would say, hadn't dropped yet. So, but that will be what I say going forward. We mentioned our daughter's state championship game is tomorrow, Saturday. We didn't find that out until late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, because the CIAC, the governing body of high school sports here in Connecticut, doesn't release which day the kids are going to play. You can either play Saturday or you can play Sunday. And I was so hopeful that she would play Saturday because Sunday is Selection Sunday, one of the busiest days for us at ESPN because we do the selection show. There's tournament championship games earlier in the day. But to my boss's credit, they understood how important this championship, high school championship game was going to be to me, and that there was no chance I was going to miss it. So if our daughter had ended up playing on Sunday, it would have been the first selection show I would have missed probably in the last 15 years or so. But instead, I get we get to experience Saturday, and hopefully they come out victorious. And either way, it's going to be our daughter's last time playing and our last time watching her. And then we've got the madness of Selection Sunday in an NCAA tournament that is going to be an absolute blast. There's so many good women's teams this year. There's so many people watching women's college basketball this year. There's a ton of stars in the women's game, more well-known players than you have even over on the men's side. So super excited for the NCAA tournament to start. But first, the biggest basketball event of the weekend for our family anyway is going to be watching our daughter tomorrow.
Shall we go to viewer mail?
We shall. Viewer mail.
Big bad hook, throw our lure, reel us in with your viewer mail.
Our first viewer mail comes from George in Columbus.
Hey, George.
George writes, Rebecca and Steve, an update from my time on campus over the past few weeks. Now, remember that George is at the Ohio State University, right?
Oh, yes, taking a class.
One, the campus parking garages often have flyers posted, recruiting subjects for various scientific research studies. This flyer caught my eye, and I decided that you and the listeners might find it interesting. Flyer attached. Inhaling laughing gas to change brain activity and social behavior in people with anger management problems, pays $540. Again, Rebecca, inhaling laughing gas to change brain activity and social behavior in people with anger management problems.
Remember these kind of flyers. Of course. Did you have these at Marquette?
Absolutely. UConn. This is donating plasma.
Ours was always... maybe it was just because the class I was in, when I was in freshman psych class, you could sign up and it was like to be a part of some experiment. And it was usually, like $100 or something like that. And of course, college kids who don't have any money are going to go inhale some laughing gas. Yeah. But just think about the absurdity of that.
No, you're driving, and you're tempted towards road rage, but you just put the oxygen mask over and take a deep drag of laughing gas. And now does laughing gas induce laughing? I forget.
I don't know.
It just gives you a serenity. Feeling of serenity.
I
obviously shouldn't be doing that behind the wheel, but
I don't think the suggestion is that they do it behind the wheel. That's a part that you've added.
Okay.
But either way, that's a conversation. I had some conversations with our daughter before she went off to college. Just more important for me to get off my chest. If you have a cup with an open top and you leave it when you come back, you never drink from that, and those kind of things. I forgot to mention to her, do not be so desperate for money that you participate in a school's experiment. Stay away from laughing gas and other things.
Especially because you found that any medical procedure that begins with a flyer in a parking garage.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I think George...
God bless the Ohio State University.
George is not doing a LASIK surgery on students with a flyer in the parking garage. So.
No, but there's a chance that his LASIK patients are on laughing gas.
True. Laughing gas. I mean, I don't think that's a scientific name, but laughing gas, like quicksand, always brings to mind some vivid memories of childhood, like what is laughing gas?
Right.
And, because like something that the Joker would give guys
in Batman. Yes.
Two, recent writing prompts from George's creative writing class. What is the shape of your body? Tell me what you, I hope that was a writing prompt.
Shape of your body?
Yeah.
I told this to somebody recently, because I remember my mom saying that, I think when she was in high school, like one of her nicknames was Turnpike, because it goes on for miles without a curve in sight or something like that. Anyway, Turnpike's not a shape. But
now, what is the shape of your body? That sounds like an unwanted text you might get. Two, tell me what you know about dismemberment or what you know about reconstruction.
Ooh, is this like are they doing Stephen King?
Well, reconstruction kind of is an historical period. Dismemberment is dismemberment. Three, describe.
I don't think that's the reconstruction that they're referring to.
Three, describe a morning you woke without fear. Are we supposed to describe a morning you woke? Are you supposed to describe without fear a morning that you woke? Or describe a morning you woke without fear?
Or a morning that you woke and were woke?
Probably not that. Okay. But it's a great writing prompt because the implication is most mornings you wake terrified. So if you can think of the one morning you woke without fear, describe that.
That's a really interesting premise. I would say I wake up just about every morning without fear. So lots of other things going on, but I wouldn't say fear is one of them.
You're talking about former Major League Baseball Union representative Donald Fear, right?
I always woke up without Donald Fear. Yes, that is true as well.
Three, in the It's a Small World category, George discovered that the young lady that sits behind me in class grew up about a half mile from my boyhood home. Enjoy the March Madness, George in Columbus. Of course, there's a young lady sitting behind George because he's retired and he's at The Ohio State University. So, I mean, that's got to be an interesting dynamic and an energizing one, I would think. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm energized by having put on a tie and driven into Hartford to speak at the Marriott this morning. And I was like, this is, there's a whole world that exists that I don't know about because I don't leave my room.
Right. And I'm looking at you right now and I can't get out of my head. Describe the shape of your body.
Is that an Ed Sheeran song?
It probably is.
George.
Where the chorus repeats
George, run.
A million times.
If you get a writing prompt that says, what are you wearing? I suggest you get in another class. Ralph, one of our resident Ralphs writes.
You know what though? I'm going to interject.
Yeah.
Describe the shape of your body. That's kind of like when we had people writing in with their wingspans and
of course.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's more describe your dimensions. But anyway, Ralph.
That was my my first line to you when we met at the Dublin House. Describe the shape of your body.
Can you imagine? I mean, if that actually came out of someone's mouth, if it just wasn't a prompt, but words that were spoken.
And then I asked you to describe a morning that you woke without fear. Hi, Restiva, writes Ralph from Stamford, Connecticut. I'm glad Rose's surgery went well. Your surrounding of that news with outdated salad dressings and pizza versus brownie crust leaves me speechless. I may even do homework, even though none is assigned. You know, Rebecca, we're down here in the basement, and over your shoulder is the tertiary pantry, and I'm seeing a jar of Alfredo sauce there that I know because I checked it yesterday.
Is it way out of date?
Well, Alfredo sauce is not something that really keeps, I don't think. Cream-based sauce.
But stuff in jars tends to keep. But if it's past its date, let's get rid of it. Stuff in jars
and formaldehyde, yeah.
No, but stuff in jars and canned goods are made to keep longer than things that go in the refrigerator. But
I know because yes, I looked yesterday, it expired in 2023.
Then let's toss it. I mean, this is my thing. You are allowed to throw food away. I know you like to leave it in the refrigerator until I throw it away, but like something like that, feel free to take care of yourself. I know it's kind of a pain to rinse the jar out and stuff since it's a glass jar and we're going to recycle it, but you can do it.
The Russian Lobo family, writes Ralph in Stamford, is invited to visit Brighton Gardens in Stamford at your leisure, or at your leisure, as you prefer, Rebecca. I can demonstrate to some of the residents that there are people taller than I am, 6'2 or so. Ralph just described his body.
He did.
They would also be polite with their questions, and you might even get a cup of coffee.
As long as it's not 7:30 a.m., because Steve has proven this morning that that's too early to drink coffee.
Getting to Stamford by 7:30 a.m. would require a 6 a.m. departure for us. But we do appreciate that invitation. And if we can ever take Ralph up on that, we will. Go Huskies. Go Huskies, Ralph signs off. But the head says South Carolina. What say you, Rebecca?
He's clearly talking about women's basketball there. Well, South Carolina's undefeated. They're certainly the favorite to win it all this year, although they've had some moments the last week or so of the season where they looked very vulnerable, in particular in the SEC semifinal game where they were down one or two. I think they were down two and with 1.1 seconds left or something, sideline inbound, and their 6'7 post player, Camilla Cardoso, who had not attempted a three-pointer all season, was wide open at the top of the key, drained a three to win the game. So yeah, they were down two. So, but anyway, they are still banked certainly the right? favorite.
What's that? Banked in the three.
Banked
right?
in the three, straight on. But yes, they are certainly still the favorite to win the national championship.
Thank you, Ralph. Tanya from Troy, our resident energy efficiency advisor, writes, I'm sure other listeners have been here, but the seemingly parallels of distance and surprise surgery had me quietly reminiscing as I listened, drinking coffee on the couch on a Monday, not in the car or in space with pigs, nor on Catalina Island, apparently. Mm-hmm. Picture this, mid-July 2022. Your kids have recently left for a three-week adventure by car with your sister and cousins to Virginia Beach, followed by going to their multi-deca-acre home in Alabama. Your nephew is a 15-year-old boy, nearly 6 feet tall, has four siblings, and knows how to roughhouse. Your oldest, Sam, is a 13-year-old, 5'6", rather suburban teen with one sister 7 years younger, too small to wrestle with. The morning after safely arriving in Alabama, somehow, as they bound in a field side by side, your nephew, intending to be playful, pushes and accidentally trips your unprepared, unaccustomed to horseplay kid, who falls on grassy lands and breaks her collarbone.
Oof.
18 hours from home. Oof. My sister was panicking. I was not. We had been here before, unfortunately. Sam also broke her collarbone at 4 years old, falling out of bed at my mom's house on Christmas Eve morning.
Oof.
Just sleeping. We were an hour and a half away that day. Flukes are her thing. Sam went to an orthopedic surgeon in Alabama, given the lack of help we found urgent care to be back in 2013. Slung and bound to the torso, they stayed for another 10 days. Another 10 days? Oh, stayed in Alabama another 10
days. Yeah, they're on vacation. Yep.
She insisted she was fine. August 2nd, they came home. We had our follow-up with my surgeon immediately. 3 days later, she had surgery, plate, screws. It is, as Rebecca noted earlier, like having a toddler again. And in fact, here is a picture of the x-ray looking just like our daughter's sort of caterpillar-looking contraption. We have our own funny, with COVID protocol, only one parent was allowed in the building. And of course, kids always only want mom. And even if they didn't want us, we would be the ones in there anyway. Her dad stayed in the parking lot the whole time, but I admit, I find it obtuse. They expect one parent to handle all of those emotional needs at a time like that. Since even if your kid only needs mom, mom also likely needs someone there themselves.
That's and you, Rebecca. If you're like our daughter, you might need the option to use either one of your parents' urine so that you can get your surgery.
I was willing to strike a deal. She could use my urine if I could have her graham crackers. We have our own funny memories of nerve blockers paired with some sad ones as the moment they hit, it was abundantly clear she wasn't fine and hadn't been fine for weeks, but had been wanting to make it be fine. The funny ones came when she got home and believed a sweet potato was a stuffed animal of hers. We then had to keep said potato and rebirth it into a sweet potato plant until it died in late 23. But it was hilarious. A ceiling fan was a plane and spaceship that day also. She made it back to first chair Viola by November. Amazingly, is it Viola or Viola? I'm thinking of Frankie's Sweet Music, Viola, the twins, outstanding left-hander.
Miss Viola Swamp. Did you ever read that book when you were a kid?
Viola Davis?
No. Anyway, go ahead.
No, but her arm is still not the same physically, and she lacks confidence where she didn't used to struggle. Lingering pain, discomfort, and fear remain. She can feel the cold metal in her in the winter, cooler pool water in the summer.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. We didn't have any issues at the airport this past year. At some point, she will have them removed, but her schedule doesn't seem to allow for it. Time to be sidelined by another round of rehab. Kids these days. Until that time, Sam was a travel hockey player primarily and had always been a multi-sport athlete, trying at least a dozen sports over the years and even trying two new sports the previous school year prior to when she reached a modified play level play. She had played hockey from age 4 to 13, was even on an all-boys team her last season, all to say she never had a sports-related broken bone. Ironic. She still plays soccer, but is timid and tends to guard her arm. She hasn't played any other sport, though, since. I sure hope Rose keeps her brevity and carries bravery and carries on the competitive nature she carried prior. I wish her a thorough recovery. Enjoy the postseason. I really hoped Tennessee would carry their momentum through their game against South Carolina, but nonetheless, they made South Carolina work for it. Can't wait for the regionals in Albany. Tanya from Troy, who's not far, Rebecca from Albany.
Well, Tanya, if I end up in Albany, I hope you, there's two regions, either Albany or Portland, Oregon. If I end up in Albany and you're there, I hope you'll come down and say hello. But I didn't even think about that because our daughter is only a month out, a little more than a month out of having her surgery. So she basically told us she's done with the sling. But I hadn't thought about when sports eventually do resume, because that's not, again, I think for another month or two that she can even start doing anything, if she's going to be timid or not. So that's interesting, though, about swimming. We'll have to ask her. And the other night she was just sitting on our bed, and I said to her, have you been able to feel the plate? And she said, no. And I just reached my hand over, and I could completely feel the outline of the plate under her skin. I said, it's right here. Feel it. She put her hands on it. She's like, oh, yeah, like I can feel a plate in my body. Just super interesting. But we will certainly keep our eye on her as she gets closer and closer to being back to normal activities.
Now that her sling has been slung, I'm thinking of Frank Sinatra's You Make Me Feel So Young. You make me feel like spring has sprung. There's a wonderful fling to be flung. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Dear Rebecca and Steve writes, Alfred in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. I apologize for the technical.
Have we ever heard from Alfred before?
We have. We've heard from him recently. Okay. He is our resident, though not officially, but I'm describing him as our resident AC/DC fan.
Okay.
Not the band, mind you.
Right. Oh, right, the electrical current. The car. Wait, what is that? The garage and the, gotcha.
Siri just came on and said, this is what I found about CDC fan. The Center for Disease Control.
Right. And who's a fan of the CDC? Right. I guess we all should be.
Dear Rebecca and Steve, writes Alfred, I apologize for the technical jargon in my last email. I'm an engineer and work with engineers all day. It did not occur to me that anyone would not know what AC and DC meant. Sorry. Well, Alfred,
implied there is, comma, morons.
No. That we're projecting that our own defensiveness in that regard, but he's right.
Well, yeah, and we should own that. We should know.
We are the morons.
Yes,
of course.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe I could be the resident socially awkward engineer at Ball and Chain. AC means alternating current. Household power in the USA oscillates between positive and negative voltage at a frequency of 60 hertz. That voltage is around 115 volts. You knew all that, Rebecca, right?
No, but I'm super interested, so keep going.
DC power means direct current. The voltage in most automotive electrical systems is a steady 12 volts. Even presumably in a Chevy Volt, Rebecca. If you had 12 Chevy Volts, you would have 144 volts.
I wish I knew more about this stuff. Like, you know, what's the benefit to having the alternate positive and negative? And I don't even honestly know what that means. So keep going.
That could have been, AC/DC could have been a good name for this podcast because I bring positive energy.
You bring positive energy.
And you bring the negative energy. Right? Okay. That's the yin and yang, the ball and chain of, okay. Really, I am writing to ask you about basketball cities. I think Milwaukee is a pretty good city for basketball, writes Alfred. We have the Bucks, writes Alfred, and Golden Eagles that play at the Fiserv Forum. And some years, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee UWM Panthers are competitive. This is one of those years. In your opinion, what makes a good basketball city and which cities are on your short list, Rebecca? Good basketball cities. You've seen them all.
See them all through the lens of women's basketball.
No,
so.
but that's a lens worth considering.
Sure. Like, to me, a good basketball city, a good women's basketball city is a place that not only has a lot of fans who come out and watch the game, and it kind of goes hand in hand, but also has good media following as well. So like for the WNBA, a great basketball city for a long time was Minneapolis, not only because they were winning and there was a great fan turnout, but the media wrote about the team and covered the team.
It also has a great, great, great Division I arena in Williams Arena,
yes,
1926.
Yes. And sometimes the Minnesota Lynx would play there in the playoffs when they couldn't be in the Target Center.
So I think in Alfred's estimation of Milwaukee, if you're talking about a place that is both a college has great college basketball and great professional basketball. Minneapolis has been that at various times.
And
Philadelphia seems to be that sort of perennially, great college basketball.
Not for women's college basketball.
Not for women's college basketball, I guess, and having, you know, the Sixers. But,
And they had an ABL team back in the early days, but Philadelphia does not have a WNBA team. One place that's interesting to me is Los Angeles because while the Sparks have had championship teams over the years, LA is a tough place to draw for women's basketball. And that's been the case at the college level until this year. UCLA has been really good the last couple of years. This year, USC with Juju Watkins, who is one of the best freshmen in the country, both of those programs are now getting fans to come out in Los Angeles and watch their teams. USC has tripled their attendance per game.
And the men's team has Bronny James, who's gotten a lot of attention.
Yes.
UCLA men obviously have a glorious tradition.
But on the women's side, it's like that's a place that's picking up. But of course, you know, anywhere in Connecticut is great for women's basketball, whether it's pro or college. South Carolina has become an incredible hotbed. LSU down in Baton Rouge, since Kim Mulkey got there and the team's been good, they've got a great following. And of course, nobody has a following right now bigger than what the Iowa women have, both at home and on the road. But what's interesting with Iowa, it's not so much a city as it is a state. And honestly, a national following now, in large part due to Caitlin Clark.
And Iowa State is always
Iowa State's always rivalry. Had great crowds. Yes, yep.
Greetings from the past, writes our second Ralph correspondent of the day.
Oh, I like when we have the Ralphs.
Ralph is our resident party bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on when you're recording, the time change is coming up, or just recently occurred. In this case, it just recently occurred. You were in Las Vegas when it occurred, and you texted me and asked me what time it was.
Okay. I don't know if anyone else has this issue when they travel, but I have an Apple Watch and I have my phone. Those are the two devices that I can know what time it is, keep track of time. But when I'm on a plane and I have Wi-Fi on the phone, depending on what time zone you're in, my phone just changes to that time zone, and therefore so does my watch. So I don't know sometimes, like, okay, especially if I've fallen asleep on the plane and I wake up, I look at my watch, but I don't know what time it is, like Eastern time. And so I got to Vegas and I got to my hotel room and there was not a clock. Like, I need some sort of analog timepiece, because I wake up the next morning, I'd set my alarm. We had stuff to do that morning. And I'm like, okay, I think my phone and my watch have both reset to daylight savings time, but I wasn't certain, and I had no way of being certain because I didn't have an analog thing I could look at and see that it was an hour ahead. So I did. I texted you and said, is it 10 a.m. Eastern time? And you assured me that it was. But I think I need like a pocket watch or just like a normal tick-tocky watch.
A pocket watch,
but, yeah,
with a fob. This is 1875.
Yeah, because I don't want to wear two watches on my wrist.
And a vest with a pocket for the pocket watch.
I want something that I have to replace the battery in that doesn't automatically change time zones to like sort of... Because this has happened multiple times where I've been flying, fall asleep, wake up, and I have no idea what the time is back east.
You flew back from Las Vegas on a red eye to Boston, got a car from Boston to our house. I was returning to our house at the same time that your car and my car arrived at the same time. I was doing the morning school drop-offs. We were both ridiculously tired and took a nap.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I hadn't slept hardly
and
at all.
Your alarm went
eye.
Off because you had to go to work or something. And
yeah, I had to work later that day. That's
and
right.
And so when the alarm went off and woke me out of it, I mean, the alarm that morning for carpool woke me out of deepest REM sleep. Then the alarm at 11 a.m. from the nap woke me out of deepest REM sleep.
Let me set this up for a little bit more for a second, because I was coming home from a red eye. I hadn't really slept. You were just coming off of your illness and you hadn't really slept. So when we both pulled into the driveway, it was 9 a.m. So we're like, we both need a nap, because I had to be in Bristol at like 2 o'clock for a game. And so 9 a.m., I set my alarm for 11:15 a.m. We can both take a power nap and try to like be human beings the rest of today. Go ahead.
So I woke up. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. And you told me later that I said, when the alarm went off, I said, what time is it? And you told me what time it was. And then that I said, what day is it? And you told me incorrectly that it was Tuesday, when in fact it was Monday.
I said, it's Tuesday. And then it took me a second. I said, no, it's Monday. That's how disoriented we both were.
So anyway,
in our fatigue.
So the time change is coming up, or just recently occurred. Just recently occurred. This is where we got sidetracked from Ralph's email. Twice a year, this event creates controversy and frustration for many people, writes Ralph. My idea is to end the time change by moving the clocks just a half hour and then leaving them alone for good. I call this my time compromise. And I've been pushing this for years on Facebook, but people just laugh. I'm hoping with the amazing influence of your podcast, we can make this happen. Steve, that's an incredible idea. Ralph from Colorado is so smart. Rebecca, Ralph from Colorado is my hero. Swoon. Ralph has provided us with our own reactions, and not far off. That's exactly my reaction. Together we can make this happen, but in the meantime, good luck with adjusting our bodies to the hour we lost or we'll lose. Love the ball and chain. Ralph, your resident party bus driver.
Why would we even have to move it a half hour? Why don't we just stay in daylight savings time for good?
Something about that reminds me of Shaq's thing on TNT when Kenny Smith was complaining about having to put $80 worth of gas in his car. And Shaq was saying, explaining to him that that's because you let it get down to empty. If you just let it go down to half and then you put $20 in, you're saving money somehow.
Right.
Somehow, I think that moving the clock a half an hour, is it we're moving the clock 3 hours. Is it going to affect me, my level of fatigue in real life in some way? Our dogs don't know what time it is. They're going to wake me at the same time every day.
All that matters, though, is like the amount of daylight that you get to experience through a day, because it is nice, although slightly disorienting this past week, to have it be so much brighter later on. And sometimes I look at my watch and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 7:30. It doesn't feel like 7:30 because it's sunny out. And but I don't know why we don't just stay in daylight savings time year round. I don't understand that.
Kathy, our resident behavioral health nurse from Torrington, Connecticut, writes,
hello, Kathy. We were in Torrington the other night.
We were?
I was stopping on the way home from our son's basketball game at the Burger King in Torrington.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we drove through Torrington.
It was like 11 p.m. Burger.
The length of Connecticut. We had a road game in Ridgefield.
Yes.
Thank you again for another entertaining and enjoyable podcast, writes Kathy. I appreciate you bringing more joy into my life. I am so happy to hear that your daughter is persevering with her injury and hope everything continues to improve after her surgery. Thank you. I'm not surprised that she wanted to get right back to school, and I'm glad you got the school to make it possible to get her back right away. Kids are amazing, and I love to hear stories about strong young women. My granddaughter listened to the pod with me on Friday because your daughter reminds me of Lily. She was injured during states for indoor track a few weeks ago. With 150 meters left in the race, and not only finished, but as a freshman, broke their high school record for the 1600. Wow. Congratulations, Lily. That's awesome. Her left foot was stepped on by another runner passing her, and she was fractured, but she continued on.
Holy cow.
She seemed most upset about not being able to run the 3200 later due to the injury. She's been in a boot and on crutches, and since she can't run normally, with the approval of the orthopedist, she has been running in the pool, so she will hopefully be ready for the outdoor track season. Wow.
Incredible.
Finished the race on a fractured foot, set the school record, and is running in the pool now. Listening to your story of the drive to the surgery center was reminiscent of any time I'm a passenger with my husband driving during a snowstorm. My husband will agree that I'm the worst passenger in the world. Thank you, Kathy. I think that...
It's not reminiscent. I was a great completely passenger. Reminiscent. He's a bad driver.
I don't like not driving on a typical day, but if the weather is bad, I flip out frequently. John's a good driver, but I don't like not being in control. It gets very stressful. Thankfully, since I'm a nurse and have to get to work, I slept at work on Monday, so I didn't have to drive in that morning. Since I'd had spent the night at work, I didn't have food, so was calling around local places I usually get food from, and due to the storm, nothing was open until dinner time. Thankfully, I keep oatmeal packets and soups for emergencies, so I wasn't starving. Most likely, nowhere near the surgery center was open for Steve to get food. I agree with him. Eat as many crackers as you want. You're paying for them.
Oh, since the bills have started to come in from her surgery.
No, we are paying for
them. We are paying
for them. $70 for the sling at urgent care, right?
No, it was $90 for the sling at urgent care.
I loved your story of anything but a backpack day. What a great idea. Back when I was in school, we never had anything like that. It was just school. It's awesome that they have added fun things to school, anything to keep kids wanting to go to school and enjoying it. Keep up the great podcast work and relaying amusing stories. Kathy, your resident behavioral health nurse from Torrington. Thank you, Kathy. The aforementioned Chris in Cheshire writes, I brought my youngest two children and nephew to the state semifinal game this Saturday. It was just 2 hours after my sixth grader's basketball season came to an end. I wanted to take her to see a top quality girls game played by young women only slightly older than her. We got to the gym just as warmups began and sat just near half court. About 15 minutes later, I was surprised to find us surrounded by several Russians. And there were several Russians. I think the whole crew was there. Our daughter came
minus
up from,
me.
Was up from
we
school.
Daughter, son, and you.
I was just as disappointed this time. This time not to see Rebecca. Rebecca was en route to Las Vegas.
Yes.
Right? The kids had a great time. The game was a lot of fun, and the team did great despite seemingly playing just seven girls. Was it a tight rotation that night? I can't remember.
Yes.
I hope the boys didn't annoy your oldest daughter, who was sitting next to them They kept shouting Kobe or Curry every time a three-pointer was made. They also were very impressed with your daughter's shooting and shot-blocking ability, comparing her to Victor Wembanyama on our car ride home.
Oh, wait, was our oldest there too?
Yes, she was.
That's right, she was home for the weekend.
I hope our oldest wasn't annoying your children, Chris. She when she comes home from college, she has the a proclivity to badger her siblings, like bait them into
intentionally.
Yeah, she loves that.
She does,
as any oldest sibling ought to. Victor Wembanyama, I love that comparison, Rebecca.
Yes.
Best of luck to all the girls on the team as they return to the Mohegan Sun Arena with a chance to repeat as champions, especially all the seniors in their final appearance for the school. Finally, Steve, I hope you're feeling better. Best, Chris in Cheshire, our BNC resident, something or other. Chris, it was great to see you, and thanks again for bringing your kids out to witness that. Susie sends in a screenshot of the New York Times crossword puzzle from sometime in the last week or so, and because I do the Times puzzle every day, Rebecca, mm-hmm. I remember this clue and answer. The answer is stew. The clue is crockpot filler. And
Melting Meats had too many letters.
To the editor, Melting Meats did not fit. You were exactly right. You were exactly right. Two more screenshots. This from John, following up on episode 267 and missing valve stem caps. Remember, we've discussed valve stem caps?
Yes.
A couple of options to add a little tire bling. And Rebecca, here are Marquette Golden Eagle domed valve stem caps and UConn valve stem caps.
Oh, really?
Now, those truly would be stolen by some ne'er-do-well.
You know what we should do? We should put two Marquette on two tires and two UConn on two tires and see which tires lose air. Do the Marquette tires lose air to the UConn? Like when it happens, we're like, all right, who's winning? Who's losing this one? Is it UConn or Marquette?
That would be a great predictor of NCAA tournament success. Yeah, that's how I'm going to make all my picks. I'm going to get 64 valve stem caps and see.
You have a car, I have a car. So that's eight. We could get that, you know, eight different teams and put it on there and see how they fare.
Let's do that. See how they town fair tire.
Exactly.
All right, Rebecca, that's all we got.
That's all we got.
I believe that's all we have.
I think that's all we have. So first of all, thank you to Denny Gallagher. One of the things he was texting me after watching the Girls 5 Eva episode was, oh, I've got a lot of things I can drop into the podcast now. I think different lines that were said during that episode.
I hope no spoilers because I haven't seen it yet.
So thank you, Denny Gallagher and Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Let's pay our respects to Dr. Gary Siegel, still in our thoughts,
course.
And Dr.
Absolutely.
Siegel's family. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Tom DeCari, play us out.
Saying says no pain, no gain, and we found that to be fact. The road might twist and turn a bit, but we all arrive intact. Mr. Mom and Mrs. Dad having each other's back. Day by day, just to keep it sane. Who's the ball and who's the chain? It's hard to tell right here on Happiness Lane. Six of us and a family pet live in its cuckoo nest. Daily grind puts your sanity to a daily test. And driviness ambiguous, what we give for a little rest. Day by day, just to keep it sane. Who's the ball and who's the chain? It's hard to tell right here on Happiness Lane. It's hard to tell right here on Happiness Lane. It's hard to tell right here on Happiness Lane.